Well, good morning, everyone. God is good. All the time. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we bow before you with hearts filled with praise and adoration. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you abound with loving kindness and goodness and truth. You are just and holy and righteous. Thank you for calling us to prayer. Here we are this morning, Lord. We want to look at a prayer in the Bible, and then we want to pray. So guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to be looking at King David of Israel in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I want to begin by just singing a psalm that he wrote about Zion, the city of our Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. So we'll sing this through twice. I think the tune is pretty easy if you know it. If you don't know it, you may have picked it up the second time through. Let's just sing together. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. One more time. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Amen. I love to look at the prayers in the Bible. We can learn so much from them. Today we have a couple of instances of King David seeking the Lord. And this is just a great application for each one of us. David has been now just made king over all of Israel. He had been king over the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, for about 7 years after King Saul died. And King Saul's Ishbosheth was reigning in the northern kingdom, but he was a very weak king. And he got killed by a couple of guys. And so the 10 tribe leaders from northern Israel came to David and said, "You're flesh of our flesh. We followed you, and we want you to be our king." So now David has all 12 tribes under his reign. He's been reigning 7 years in Hebron, about 20 miles or so south of Jerusalem, and he wants to move the capital to Jerusalem. That's why we sang for Jerusalem today. And now he's in Jerusalem, and he's setting up his kingdom. Israel's enemy at that time was primarily the Philistines. And for the 7 years after King Saul was dead, they pretty much had free reign over Israel, particularly over the northern 10 tribes. But now the Philistines recognize King David is in control, and they know that they have this song, "Saul slew his thousand, but David his 10,000s. And so I believe they decided we need to strike before he gets his kingdom really solidified. So they prepare for attack. Now there's a valley that comes up from the southwest of Jerusalem called Rephaim. And it's a good valley. You can defend yourself well in it. And it's a good way to attack Jerusalem. So David is told that the Philistines are preparing to attack Israel coming up the valley of Rephaim. So what does he do? Does he freak out? No, let's read what he does. Verse 17, 2 Samuel 5. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold, probably in the caves of Adullam area, we're not sure. Doesn't identify it, but he did have strongholds in Adullam. That's near the Valley of Rephaim, a little southwest of Jerusalem. Now listen to 19, very important verse. Underline it if you don't have it. You don't have your Bibles, so I guess you can't do that, but underline it in your mind. So David inquired of the Lord. When you got a great problem ahead of you, when you got a big decision or little decisions, are you inquiring of the Lord? Is that your first thing you do? Or is that the last thing you do after you get in a mess and then you inquire, right? But here David inquires of the Lord, saying, asks two questions. Shall I go up against the Philistines? Second question, will you deliver them into my hand? Great questions, right? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. I love that word, doubtless. That really is the same thing we read in Romans 8, where we're more than conquerors, right? What is a conqueror? A conqueror is one who wins a battle. What is more than a conqueror? One whose battle is won before it is even fought. However, with the Lord, we still have to fight the battle. David still had to go fight the battle, but he was assured of victory. So he went to Baal Perazim, that means breakthrough. He went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies for me, or before me, like a breakthrough of water. It would be like water breaking a dam. It little comes out at first, and then it just all floods out. So he went on a frontal attack against the Philistines and broke through them because of the Lord. And he said, David defeated them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Now, notice verse 21 is kind of almost a joke, or kind of humorous anyway. And they left their gods there. The Philistines left their images there. Do you have a god that you can leave behind? They left their images there, and in 1 Chronicles 13, it tells us the men carried them away. It actually tells us that David had them burned. The idols were burned. That's great, isn't it? Now, verse 22. The enemy is always going to make a counterattack, or he's always going to come back. He's not just going, even with the Lord's assurance that the enemy is defeated. And did Jesus Christ defeat Satan on the cross 2,000 years ago? Absolutely. So why is Satan so prominent today? Because God is allowing him to be here and allowing him to be the alternative of choice to see if we love sin, which really is related to Satan, or do we love God, right? But we see the enemy attacking again. Verse 22, then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. And now notice David, what would you have done? I've got it, Lord. I'm going to frontal attack and I'm going to break through them like the last time, right? That's what Joshua tried to do at Ai after the victory in Jericho, right? But notice, David doesn't do that. Verse 23, therefore David inquired of the Lord. Now the Lord has a different tactic. You shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. Often we want to put God in a formula box. We want to try to figure out how God works, and that's the way he's going to work every time, but he works different every time. The principle is the same. He's going to give David the victory, but it's going to be a different way. A good way to keep the enemy off balance is to vary your techniques all the time, right? So the first battle is a frontal attack. Now this battle, God is saying, don't attack them frontally. Go around behind the mulberry trees and wait for my signal. The signal is a sound in the tops of the mulberry trees. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so. Put your name in the place of David then. And your name did so. Are you obedient to the Lord? Are you obedient to his word? We see David was obedient to his word, and he did so. As the Lord commanded him, and he drove them back from Geba to Gezer. That's probably about 15 miles. And when you got the whole army on the run, but you're driving them back, you don't have jeeps and trucks and all, you're hoofing it, right? But 15 miles, he drove them back. And from this point on, the Philistines never bothered David again. Complete victory over the enemy because of following the Lord. Do we have victory? Are we told we're more than conquerors because of what he has done for us? How many of us try to fight our own battles on our own strength or on our experience or on the recommendation of something we see, read, or hear? We need to be in this word every day. We need to be praying, and we need to be doing what the Lord tells us as empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? Now we have time to pray. We're going to pray for a few minutes just in a group here, so shout out your prayer. It's not that the Lord is deaf. He's not. He can hear you whisper or not even at all. But we want to agree with your prayer by saying amen. And so we'll spend a few minutes here praying in this big group, and then we'll spend the rest of the time, maybe 40 minutes or 35 minutes or something like that, praying in the table you're in. So in the table you're in, keep the group small enough where you can hear each other. If you've got a big table, maybe one end you can pray at one group and the other end the other group. Then you can keep your voices down to a level where you can hear it, but not anybody else is too bothered. We want to pray for the conference. We want to pray for the church around the world. We want to pray for the persecuted church. We want to pray for the unpersecuted church. And many times I think the unpersecuted church needs more prayer than the persecuted church. We see the church is always vibrant and strong where there's persecution. Where there's no persecution, we see them getting lazy and fat. So we want to pray for all churches, right? We want to pray for the staff here at the conference center, that they would come to know the Lord. We want to pray for, of course, for Thailand. Whatever the Lord leads you to pray for. We want to pray for the lost. And those who have come to the Lord, we want to pray that their faith would be established. Their faith would be established. They would grow in their faith, that they would be fruitful, exceedingly fruitful. Pray for the power of the Spirit. And pray that you would get today and tomorrow and Thursday, out of this conference, everything that the Lord has for you. Listen to him. We're away from the sound and the noise. Put your cell phones away. You're here to worship the Lord. You're here to listen to the Lord. And I can assure you that the world will go on till Friday without you, period, right? I mean, if you got family emergencies or something, that's another thing. But generally speaking, you don't need to keep up with the news in the world. There isn't any good news. You don't need to keep up with sports because there isn't anything there that's eternal. But we want to be listening to the one who is eternal, speaking to us, created in his image, who are also eternal, right? We want to hear from him. So let's pray now in a large group. Father, we thank you for gathering us here. Lead us by your Spirit now in this time of prayer, in one accord as we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.